Jesus. Can we just continue to pray for a few minutes? That's it. I worship you, Father. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, to him who sits on the throne. There's none beside you, Father. There's no other God beside you. None came before you, and there's none coming after. You're sovereign. You have all power. You're in all places at all times. Oh, you know exactly what we need. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I appreciate the willingness just to be able to wait on God. I appreciate that. God is so good, isn't he? He really is. That's just not words. It's truth. I told Tyra coming in that I was going to put her on the spot. But I was praying this week. And I said, Lord, I know there are others. I need somebody very specific who's going to pull with me in the spirit. And all week, Tyra, I kept seeing your face. So I just need you to pray. As God has his way. Oh, help me, Father. Oh, Lord. I'm not procrastinating. I'm coming in the fear of the Lord. I have something very, very specific. One more time. Let's just raise our hands before the Lord. Let's present ourselves in your own way, in your own words. Lord, even when I think I know what I need, you know best. You know beyond me, beyond my knowledge, beyond my perceived need. You know what I need to hear. You know what needs to fall in my spirit, on my heart. You know, Lord, you know. We give you our minds, our thoughts, our emotions, our hearts, our spirit, the whole man that we present before you right now, Father. If you would, our opening text, probably the only one, if we could put Philippians 1 and 6 up, please, I would appreciate that. Confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen, Brother Barr. Now don't sit down in your spirit, but you can be seated. Oh, Lord. His name was Eddie. He was my mother's boyfriend. My parents were divorced by this time. And the relationship was a tumultuous one. I think that's the right word. He was physically, emotionally, and verbally abusive. There were things that we went through. I remember him taking a patio chair and throwing it through the window and my mother having to take him to court for the damages. I remember him putting sugar and molasses in her gas tank. He was a piece of work. One night, he came to the house and he was intoxicated, and there was a lady that, to this day, I don't remember how my mother met her. Her name was Miss Winchester. And this particular night, Eddie had come, and again, he had been drinking, and him and my mother were going at it, and I was upset, to say the least. I don't remember where my brothers were at this particular time. And Miss Winchester called, and I remember Eddie fussing at my mom and saying, you know, she's listening to our conversation, and my mom said, no, she's not. She's upset. And Miss Winchester called. She had this way about her of just being there at the right time. And so she called, and I answered the phone, and she said, Glennis. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, is your mother home? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, does she have company? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I was going to come by and visit, but perhaps I won't. I said, no, ma'am. Why don't you come? She was there within minutes. She walked in. Eddie sobered up immediately and left. I don't remember how I got there, but at some point I was laying in my bed and I was just crying profusely. And I remember Miss Winchester and my mom coming and being over me. And I don't remember the conversation. I don't remember, you know, I wasn't remembering at that time exactly what happened, but there was this feeling as if salt was being sprinkled up and down from head to toe. I remember that. I had to have been roughly about, I want to say 12-ish when that happened. Now, fast forward about 35 years. And I was reconciling some things in my childhood and reconciling some things before the Lord. And this came back to mind. And I started thinking and mulling over Miss Winchester. And I started to notice some things about her that I hadn't picked up as a child. The way she dressed. The simplistic way that she lived. How she always just kind of seemed to know certain things. How she was there when we needed her most. Again, I don't know how they met. I don't recall. And so it just stuck with me. I called my dad. I said, Dad. I said, do you remember Miss Winchester? He said, I certainly do. I said, is she alive and well? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, could you give me her number? So I called Miss Winchester, and she was so glad to hear from me. And I said, Miss Winchester, I have something to ask you. I said, by any chance, Are you baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus? She said, yes, ma'am, I am. I said, do you have the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues? She said, almost all my life. I said, do you remember that incident when you came to the house and Eddie was there? And I said, he sobered up immediately. She said, yes, I do. I said, do you remember coming in my room? And I said, what happened? Because this is what it felt like. It just felt like salt was being sprinkled from head to toe. She said, baby, I prayed over you and I anointed you. Okay. And while I'm thankful for the hand of the Lord being on my life at that time, I can't really say to you that had I understood what was going on, that it would have changed the course of my life after that. I can't say that to you. And in fact, if we look at the word, we find that, David was anointed 3 times by the prophet when he was anointed king of Hebron, and then again when he was 30 when he was anointed king, when God gave him everything. But that anointing, it didn't keep him from trials. It didn't keep him from tribulation. It didn't keep him from temptation. It didn't keep him from judgment. It didn't keep him from murder. It didn't keep him from adultery. It didn't. We can go on and on and on. It didn't keep him from any of that. I'm going to be extremely transparent with you, as if I haven't already. But these last several weeks have been really something. At Antioch North, we have our structure is we have the executive, you know, I don't even know who we are. I guess the executive ministerial team, which is myself, Elder Wayne Brown, and Pastor Simpson. And then we have a divisional oversight team that also helps, ministers, different senior leaders with the direction of Antioch North. Well, the executive team, sometimes we have to meet and we have to discuss things, you know, weighty matters and, you know, set the direction and all of that, you know. And so several weeks ago, we were having such a meeting and great stuff, good stuff going on. And, you know, and boy, Pastor Simpson and Elder Brown, they were in their element. I mean, they shooting off vision. I mean, they're casting stuff there. And I was like, look, I said, Pastor Simpson, can you just tell me what I'm supposed to do today? And so he started laughing. I said, it's not funny. I said, y'all tend to forget sometimes. I'm the only girl in this camp. And so he said, you need some more coffee? I said, yes, I do. So he ran in the kitchen, got me some more coffee. But somewhere along that, things started to get really heavy for me. Out of nowhere, there could have been other factors. I'm not even trying to figure it out. Because our minds get in the way and we get in the way. Things got really, really heavy. I mean, hit me like a ton of bricks. So much so, and I'm not proud of it. I actually sent Bishop a text, him and my husband, and I said, Bishop, I said, I want to step down from being assistant pastor of North. I said, I don't even know what that looks like. I said, but this is too heavy right about now. And Brother Shelton talks about, you know, you got to be able to speak bishop. I got a new one for you. He bishoped me. He didn't even dignify that with a response. I didn't think he really would. My husband was like, why'd you send that? I said, well, you know, he is our overseer. You know, he is our oversight. But somewhere in here, I thought that if I could just lay aside something, that the weight, the responsibility would be lifted a little bit. Nothing doing. And to add to that, Pastor Simpson was doing a series of teaching on submission. I'm not talking about the watered down version. This brother went there. He went there. I mean, it was obedience, and it just kept radiating obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. Obedience and submission. I can't even begin to tell you. There were just days that I would just go and just lay before the Lord. I have never been in a place like this before. I will tell you, in 30 plus years, never ever. And what I believe, though, is that the Lord is responding to my cry to him to say, Lord, the faith I had back then is not going to make it with what's coming. You don't have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost to know the time that we're living in. And I meant it when I said, Lord, whatever you got to do. At least I meant it before this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So he kept going on and on and on. And the Lord was just dealing with me and just, oh, my goodness, I would wake up. There's been several mornings I would wake up, and I'm just being honest with you. I'm literally rolling out of my bed with just tears. I don't know whether I was interceding in my sleep or I was waking up meditating on the things of the Lord. When my pillow has been soaked, I'm trying to get to a place to pray so I don't disturb my husband. And this has just been going on for weeks. Then Elder Middleton, you don't even know you come for Talia's dedication. Where is he, by the way? He's hiding from me? Is he really? Well, praise the Lord. So anyway, he comes to do Talia's, our youngest granddaughter, her dedication, and he's giving honor to us, and he says, now, I tried to resign. Keep that in mind. And he says this, something along the lines of, you know, I give honor to your pastor. And then he circles back. He says, now, I only said one. I didn't say pastors because they're one. I think I went downstairs. I'm like, okay. God, dealing with me. Then I get the request from Pastor Wright. We're going to be out of town. He sends this email to my husband and myself. And he must have known that I thought it was an error. Because at the end of the email, he said, just to be clear, this is for Sister Simpson. God is funny. He is funny. I didn't answer. I did not. I did not answer. So we're going to church, and Pastor Simpson said, "Did you respond to the pastor right?" No, sir. And he kind of gave me the look. I said, I'm really hoping I have a schedule conflict. His response, you just better make sure you're not in conflict with the Lord. I hate when people say stuff and you can't even say anything back. I'm serious. It wasn't fair. He preached this morning. He said sometimes when you fight, you know, sometimes people bring a knife to a gunfight. That's what I was doing, you know. I had the knife. He had the big guns. Okay. So, Lord, they're your people, not mine. What do you want to say? And immediately he brought that, and I promise you, with the help of the Lord, we're going to bring this all together in a few minutes. So I'm praying for direction. That incident with Miss Winchester came back. And then there was the senior leadership meeting. And boy, oh boy, Bishop Wright started out. Oh my goodness. He started out being the bishop. And he talked about spouses enjoying leadership privileges but not wanting the responsibility. I said, oh God, was that me? Was that what I was trying to do? God have mercy on you if you're not willing to ask God the hard questions and be willing to sit yourself down somewhere until he answers you one way or another. God have mercy. I want to know. Even if it's not pretty, I want to know. I can't get caught up and be deceived. And not right now. Not right now. So I'm still like, Lord, you search me. Bishop goes on and he talks about self-will and denying oneself and taking up your cross. And just every time it was like a hammer, like, you know. And God is saying, this is what I'm doing in you right now. You need to go deeper. You need to go deeper. You need to plant your feet deeper. Doesn't matter how long you've been in it. Come on. It doesn't. It's time to go deeper. He talked about the language of iniquity. Being, I don't want to do this. I want to do this. That's the language I was talking at the time. Then Mother Wright comes at the end and she doesn't sing it at first, but she says the words, whatever it takes. I'll be honest with you yet again. I couldn't say it. I said, Mother Wright, and she didn't hear me having this conversation. I said, I can't go there with you right now. Because whatever God is doing in me right now, I will not say it. I will not sing it as just a song. I won't do it. I got to know within myself that I'm willing, that I'm really willing to go to that place that the Lord is taking me to right about now. I'm not going to play games. I won't do it. There was enough fear of God in me that night to know, like, I won't do it. Even when she said the words at first and then she sung it. I couldn't go there with her. I needed the Lord to check me and check me thoroughly. I needed him to go to those secret places. I needed him to dig deep. I needed him to do whatever he needed to do. So I wasn't going to rush it. And then here comes this past Tuesday. And I'm waking up in this scripture. If you please could put that scripture back up. Philippians 1:6. I'm waking up out of my sleep in this scripture. And actually, not the whole scripture, but just the portion that said, he which hath begun a good work. Again, I rolled out of my bed and just in tears, and all of a sudden, some clarity started coming. Some of the weight started lifting. And it's like, okay, Girl, you ought to, you just needed a reminder that it's not about you. You didn't call yourself. You didn't ask for the anointing. It wasn't your idea. And if it was, then it wouldn't be from God. Wasn't my idea. I've come in the fear of God to tell somebody in this place that you've gotten so caught up in the circumstances surrounding your anointing, surrounding your calling, the things that happened after that, that you've set it aside. And you've not allowed the main thing to be the main thing. But you didn't call yourself. You didn't anoint yourself. You didn't ask for it. But the bottom line is, you've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price. I don't belong to me. You don't belong to you. That's the whole sum of the matter. But the question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? Now, you would think after all of that, and I trust me when I tell you, I am condensing the experience over the last few weeks. It's been heavy. It's been heavy. So I go to the Global Missions service Friday night. Guest speaker was Brother Huntley. He ministered on the love of God, on the God that is greater than. You know this joke I had to learn to reference this scripture. I said, Brother, you ain't even supposed to be in this country. You're Global Missions. Yeah. And you got, and I'm like, Lord. Yeah. Got to the end of that service, and again, doing the altar call, just had to excuse myself. Had to go and build a personal altar again. Again. And if that wasn't enough. This morning, I wake up and I referenced David a little bit ago, and the Lord reminded me, you know, you too. You too have been anointed 3 times. I sent my servant, Miss Winchester, and then you were anointed as a daughter work leader. I still have that picture on my desk because I never want to forget. Bishop and Mother Wright, their hands on our heads. Brother Whaley was to the side. Brother Yu was to the side. I never want to forget. And then as congregational elders, I remember standing right about here. And I remember Brother Whaley saying this to me, because I was so, just like I am now, I'm just, the best way I can explain it to you is just the feeling of being undone, being made over, being called to a deeper dimension of obedience in submission. Time and time again. But again, it's never been like this. Never. And Brother Whaley came up to me and he said, again, he picked up where I was. I was like, done. Like, Lord, are you sure? He says, sis, I know that it doesn't seem like the mantle fits right now. And it didn't. But he said, you'll grow into it. I can't tell you where, I wish I could. I can't tell you where I am in that process. But I can tell you this, that now I've been able to sing that song, Whatever It Takes. To draw closer to you, Lord. And not even that's what I'd be willing. No, we're talking about right now. That's what I am willing to do. Right now. Right now. Yep. It's still heavy. This morning, I hate. I guess I shouldn't say hate, but sometimes I do. I don't like the glass house. I don't like the glass house. I don't like, you know, being pointed out, and I don't like all of that. I just don't. It's uncomfortable for me. But yet this morning, Brother Simpson called me up. My pastor called me up so that North could pray for me. Just the heaviness, just, it was still there. It's still here. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So they prayed for me, and he called over Elder Valley, and he said, get that oil. I'm not proud of it, and I don't know if anybody heard me, but I said, not the oil. Don't anoint me. I guess they did. By this time, I'm praying, and I'm trying to focus on the Lord. And again, I'm not proud of that, but just all this anointing stuff and everything that the Lord has been bringing to the surface and what he's been trying to do, that's just, I'm just being honest with you. Like, don't anoint me. I can't take another anointing right now. Again, as if it was my idea. It don't even make sense. It don't even make sense. And do you know, Pastor Simpson had something else altogether, and he said, the Lord just shifted gears. His opening text was in Samuel when they anointed David king. The Lord is saying, do you really think, or do you really want to escape my will, my plan, my purpose? The only time you do is when you're trying to do it in your own strength. I say this to people all the time. He tells us that his burden is easy. Am I saying it right? His yoke is easy. His burden is light. So he is so good. When it's heavy, that's a key indicator that it's not his that I'm carrying. We make it hard. When it's heavy, immediately I know it's mine. It's not his. It's not his. So again, I don't know who you are, but I know what the Lord gave me for this service. I know he had asked me to be very transparent. Real talk. Raw. I am, thank you, Trishere, among family. Thank you for giving me a safe place still to just share. But there are some people here. You've set it aside. You've allowed things to change your focus. As if it was your idea. Again, you didn't call you. You didn't anoint you. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knows the thoughts that he has towards you. That expected end clause. It's still in effect. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what the adversary has tried to plant. It is what it is, what it is. And I've come to tell somebody, he has not changed his mind. And he is fully able to do it. He's fully willing to do it if you let him. Hebrews 10, please, 35 through 36. I said I only had the one scripture, but let's just go there. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Maybe it's not a calling. Maybe it's a promise. Something you've been waiting for. And we're really good at it. Sometimes we say, I'm trusting God. So we kind of put it on the shelf and go over here. But do we really? Last time I checked, we're supposed to make war with what we've been promised. War is never silent. It's not. It's not. So, wherever you may fit, I knew I wasn't going to be long in this scenario. I need you just to allow God to answer that for you. Because I can tell you from personal experience here last few weeks that he just answers things better. He does. He does. So again, whether it's a promise that you've allowed other things to shadow, or a place in God, something that was spoken over you, a calling, a plan, again, a purpose. It's between you and God. But I know there are some people here. I know that with all assurance in the Holy Ghost. I know it in the Holy Ghost. You got to pick it back up. And you have to allow God to be who he is. And you have to acknowledge all over again in a deeper way that it's him that's going to finish the work. He's going to finish it. He's going to do it. We just have to be out of the way. We say all the time, I just have to be available. But let's go beyond that. Just get out of the way. Just stop trying to answer all of the questions and ask him why. You know, it's okay to ask why, but it's not okay to question. There's a difference. There is a difference. Let's do something a little bit different. Let's not stand. And let's just bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Jesus, what have I laid down? What have I laid down? What have I put to the side that you told me? Jesus, what thing was spoken over me, to me, by a man or woman of God that I've laid to the side because of, you name it, cares of life, because it got too heavy, because the weight of it was a bit too much to bear. And again, I wasn't wanting to backslide or you know, of course, we know that you can be on the seats and be backslidden at heart. But I wasn't talking about leaving the things of God and not being involved. I mean, I just wanted to dumb it down a little bit. just wanted to just love on people and, you know, and tell them about the gospel. I wanted the good part, not the weighty part. Lord, help us. Help us go there, Lord. Help us go. Help us pick back up those things that you promised. This is an awesome body. And the world has need of each and every plan and purpose and will that is planted in these lives. This world needs it. And you've trusted us with it. You've trusted us with it. Help us to be good stewards. Not through our own strength, but through yours, through your empowerment, Father. That's the only way it's going to get done. Here I am, Father. I don't understand it all. I don't understand these last several weeks, Father. And I don't need to. You're my Father, and I trust you. I am yours. Oh, you purchased me with a great price. And I so want to be worth the purchase. I so want to be worth the purchase, Jesus. Brother Middleton, if you would come and pray, please. I specifically felt this early on, so if you would, please allow the Lord to just illuminate right now. You might be surprised what he says, what he shows. You might be surprised what he brings back to remembrance. Just let him do it. Let him do it. I beg of you, just let him do it.